This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And live from Salem this morning, State Representative Christine Goodwin. Christine, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, everyone.
So let's talk about this Democratic proposal that came out and was unveiled more yesterday regarding Measure 110 and also the Republican reaction. What were your thoughts? Tell us more.
Well, they're calling it the omnibus framework, and I actually didn't even receive it until Monday. And so it's sort of what their intentions are for their LC draft. And they actually, we don't have the actual language of that draft. So they're just sort of proposing a number of things. Still, in general, the process seems to be that the Democrats are really opposed to any kind of recriminalizing. And there's some in their ranks that are actually they're supportive of just a drug-free policy in Oregon carrying forward. So they are resisting, even though the language, and in committee, we speak often, and the Democrats do as well, that this is a drug crisis and it is urgent that we take action, yet all of their proposals are really just baby steps.
And do the Republicans, do you have a specific proposal that is out now, or is that still being crafted?
No, we do. We actually have two drafts that have been out for some time. So House Bill 4036 probably encompasses our point of view in moving forward. You know, what we're finding in Oregon is that we all had hoped that with Measure 110 that people with drug addiction would seek voluntarily, you know, they would seek treatment for themselves. And what we're finding is with the e-violations, they are not. And there's just absolutely nothing compelling people into treatment. And then the sad truth is the few that are seeking treatment don't seem to be able to plug in to the entity or the recovery services that they need, which is just baffling to me. I mean, it begs the question, where has all this money, which I am still pursuing, where is the money going for these services that then seem to be lacking when somebody actually does seek treatment? But the real problem is just fewer than 2% of people that are getting e-violations even make a phone call to the hotline. And the hotline, they have calculated, is costing about $7,000 a call. So it is just so completely underutilized. People are just getting maybe a drug assessment, but they are not moving forward in any kind of long-term recovery.
Now, under the Democratic proposal, as I understand it, it would make possession of small amounts of drugs like fentanyl, methamphetamine, and heroin a low-level misdemeanor. And the Democrats say that would give law enforcement more power to prosecute dealers, but it sounds like the GOP doesn't feel like that's enough.
Well, the law enforcement doesn't say that's enough. And the DAs and all of those, and I've been talking to those people in my counties, and they say this is completely, a C misdemeanor is completely insufficient. It's actually kind of meaningless to police officers. So what we have under-resourced police officers anyway. So what you're asking them to do is essentially with this is escort people if they find they're over the legal amount, you know, they have to risk them for the drugs if they can even get to them to do that. And then they have to escort them to a deflection place. So one of the things that they have not defined that they proposed in their framework is that we have this deflection program. But there is no program necessarily. I questioned this yesterday, so it's just a place that law enforcement takes them. They then, what happens then? And still, it's a voluntary program or place for the drug addicted to stay. And there's still nothing of any meaning to their proposal. So we don't even know in this deflection program whether this is going to be possible. Certainly throughout rural Oregon, how do we establish these programs if they are that, to what cost? And if you don't have one, if smaller communities, are we asking law enforcement to drive people long distances to a program? And if it's just a revolving door, if they're just going to be out in no time because they are not going to voluntarily seek treatment or go to the next step, then what? I mean, this seems like a real waste of resources. And I fear it's going to be completely underutilized again. So we're sinking a lot of money into something that is not actually compelling people to treatment.
So the GOP then looking at reestablishing hard drug use as a Class A misdemeanor then, correct?
Yes, that's what we are proposing. So that gives law enforcement actually some tools. And it's still, you know, judges can always down charge if they choose, if they look at the total circumstances for the individual. And what we are calling for an A misdemeanor and return to our diversion programs and our specialty courts. We have a very good model in the Dewey diversion, and it actually was working very well in many counties. And it's just sad it's kind of been diminished or dismantled or just not being utilized. In Douglas County, it still could be utilized if people were seeking or there was any leverage for them to instead. Of course, we want them to avoid jail. Our objective is to get people into treatment. That everybody agrees. But the Democrats seem to be very resistant in mandating to anybody that that they seek treatment.
I noticed in a statement yesterday from the Senate Republican leader, he felt like the Democratic proposal was simply kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, it is. I mean, mostly what they're in the framework, again, they speak of urgency, right? This is an urgent drug crisis, and yet they want a study of youth. What are the barriers to youth getting treatment? And the study would end in September of 25. That is not urgent to me. And as I spoke out in committee, good grief, I can talk to people and did three yesterday. We could identify what the barriers are and correct that very quickly. We don't need a long-term study. But this is so typical of it. We just want to kick it down the road. We want to throw money out without any precision at all. And I'm arguing for sending it back to the counties so they in more block grants. So it's not really decided by OHA. It's given to the counties, and then they can determine in their counties and regionally what is needed. Where do we need to place money that we're actually moving people toward long-term recovery?
And the potential, of course, is depending on what happens or doesn't happen in the short session. Oregonians could see a measure on the ballot in November regarding this. How likely do you think that is?
You know, it's looking more likely to me all the time, just because I can see that there's now, even in the Democrats, there is a faction that is peeling off now that is very absolutely protecting Measure 110 as it is. They do not want any changes at all. They're certain that with time, this will all straighten out. And I think that's absurd. So there's quite a bit of upheaval in their own ranks. I was just shocked that they didn't come out with an actual draft of language. And we've asked for that to be presented, get it into a work session in the committee, because then we can start the amendment process, read what they're actually going to do. They just gave a lot of vague, they went off in areas in their proposals that we haven't even discussed before. A lot of requirements that long-term care, an example, will have or mandated to take these kind of complex patients with substance abuse disorder, even though they may not have the workforce or the training in their facilities to take care of people that have difficult circumstances. They have their requirements in pharmacies for emergency medically assisted treatment, which they're already doing. Same with insurance mandates. So they pulled out a whole lot of things in their framework that has not been part of the process. We have not had any discussion. They try to imply that we have been involved and we're all sitting down at the table and we're negotiating this. This is not true. I've been involved with what they call the stakeholder meetings. They're sort of little breakout groups, and there may be two of us there with our point of view on recriminalizing, and the rest of the room is stacked with people who are all status quo, let's keep it as it is. There's no discussion and there's no compromising with us at all. I mean, they are just adamant about keeping it just as light as they can.
Well, as you get ready for the short session here in just over a week, do you feel like this is going to be the dominating topic?
Yeah, I do. I think it's and the committee chairs, Senator Lieber and Rep. Croft, they sense the pressure and the urgency to have something proposed. But you know, we're heading into session on February 5th. And after yesterday's meeting, we are still so far apart. They're trying to maneuver us into, because we agree, of course, on harsher penalties about drug dealing. Of course, we should make it very difficult to deal drugs. And yet we had lightened up those laws a couple years ago so that you had to show actual delivery and not intent to deliver. So I think we'll have some movement there. But overall, they're trying to declare that we have bipartisan support, and we are not at all supportive of the status quo of Measure 110. And I think to your question about the ballot measure, it may be the people, because we haven't had enough public input, actually. And they are sick to death of what they see happening in their communities. And if you take it back to the voters, I think they will speak loud and clear that they want some action taken on our drug-free policy in Oregon.
All right, we're out of time for now. Live from Salem, State Representative Christine Goodwin, thanks for being on.
All right, thanks, Kyle. Bye-bye.
8:43 at the Morning Report.